Today's episode, I talked to Tanisha from Runaway Tay on Instagram. And to introduce this podcast, I'm just going to give you the pitch that she gave me to be on the podcast in the first place. I thought it was super intriguing and made me really stoked for the interview that we did. So here we go. I'm not too sure I'm exactly what you're looking for the interview, but I do have quite a bit of experience under my belt for the nomadic lifestyle. I've been bouncing around with a duffel bag of stuff and a car since I was about 16. I'm 20 now. I grew up in a very unhealthy environment and have been on my own since I was in 7th grade. All of my survival skills and work ethic I've learned myself, sometimes the hard way. I started getting into more statewide travel last year, and this year I've had more long-distance trips, mainly from Vancouver, BC to Portland, Oregon. I'm a freelance photographer, and most of the time I do pay-what-you-can sessions because I know what it's like to have nothing, and I don't think something like photos should be labeled as a luxury, especially when sometimes it's all somebody has. I would do photo sessions, labor work for cash, selling whatever was of some value from the little amount I owned, and I have been fortunate enough to meet people who let me crash on their couch when it's too cold or shower when I need to and park where it's safe. I'm currently in the process of buying my first van, and I'm hoping to do so tomorrow if it all works out, but within the next 2 weeks, if not tomorrow. So this was a little while ago. She now has a van. She posts tons of Instagram stories of the conversion of that van into her new home. And please enjoy this conversation with Runaway Tay. Before we launch into the podcast, though, I just want to quickly say that I have started a crowdfunding campaign for my new film called Hitchhiking, where me and a group of friends and people that just want to come along for the journey are hitchhiking from Victoria, where I live right now, to Alaska. And I'm documenting the process. I'm going to be asking the question, what happened to hitchhiking? Why was it so popular in the 60s and 70s, and now it's not very popular at all? The kind of different ways that people do it, and I'm gonna be going through a bunch of different stuff, and for more information on that, you should check out my Indiegogo campaign. Link's in the description and the show notes, but you can find it on Indiegogo if you just search for hitchhiking, or you search my name, Forrest Stevens. So thank you all for supporting the show, and now let's actually get into the podcast. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's my first one. I was a little nervous. I was like, oh no.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for joining.
Yeah.
My name's Forrest, and this is the Travel for Nothing Come Home Rich podcast. And I'm really excited to have you on because I found your story super interesting. Because I'm in a lot of ways, I'm interviewing people who are choosing to go travel the world and have to kind of figure out different ways on how to make money from that. But by the way that you described your situation to me, it was almost more like you kind of fell into this situation and it was less of a choice for you, and you're kind of
definitely
kind of like letting the ball roll a little bit. So I'd love to hear your story again, and for the viewers and the listeners to be able to understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, so I started So it kind of all started around seventh grade when I got transferred out of my home and was put into another home. And from there, pretty much from seventh grade to graduating high school to about a year after graduating high school, so about 2 years ago, I've been living out of a duffel bag and garbage bags and any car that I've owned, people's couches. So it's easy for me to adapt to situations like that, but it is a little challenging just because it's hard being like a solo female traveler in when you're like thrown into that situation and being so young. So I made most of my money from photography, and then, you know, like odd jobs, like labor work, weeding, just through people I met. Even if you don't go to church, asking people to ask people who are in churches is great because a lot of them are elderly or want help around the house, and they're willing to pay for people who like need that help. So I think I was fortunate enough to meet people who are like that. So I got like my own first car in 2016, and up until about a month and a half ago, I've been like living out of my car and traveling around Vancouver all the way down to Portland. And I just finished a cross-country road trip in like a giant moving truck from Seattle to Central Florida near Ocala. And I think for me, the biggest challenge is, I mean, it always seems to like center around money, which I hate because I don't think money is like the root of all evil. I just think because of the way like the system's set up, especially for people like me who are like in the system, like raised with it, and then we're expected to like go out and do everything on our own, it's like sometimes harder. But I definitely think it's doable. I feel like if I can do it, anybody can do it. It's more about connecting resources. So having friends, whether you know they're your friends or other people, it's about like making a good impression on people. I mean, some people can't always do labor work or they don't always have the time. For me, I got like sucked into this like world of photography from a very young age. If anybody remembers those disposable Kodak cameras that you can get from Walgreens for like $3, and then you know, like take them in and then you develop the film, those were like the first cameras that I worked on, and I took pictures of everything. And then I got my first DSLR junior year. I saved up all summer. I like worked on a farm super hard, like every day, saved up, got my first camera, and then started making some money from photography for that, like taking photos of people's pets, people's babies, family portraits. And a lot of the time, if people see that you don't have experience or you don't have a website or you don't have a portfolio to present to them in a way that you'd like, I find for me getting started, I still do this sometimes, is just do like a pay what you can basis. So for example, like my friend, I've known her since 7th grade, and I know like her situation, and so I did her like newborn photos, but I didn't charge her for anything just because like I don't think photography, things like photos, shouldn't be a luxury for people to have. I think it should be affordable to everybody. And like I've taken photos of people on the beach, just like with their dog, Cannon Beach, Oregon. And he just happened to be a van lifer, and he was with his dog. And I don't really charge people for things like that because I know what it's like to only have photos and have literally absolutely nothing, like no clothes or anything besides like photos and a cell phone or a place to crash. So I really try to make it affordable. And if anybody comes to me and is like, how much do you charge for this? I think my first step is always to try to get to know that person. Because again, making those connections that last. And I mean, people are going to remember you, you know, as somebody who like is compassionate and understanding of different situations, because I wouldn't charge somebody $150 for senior photos, you know, for like a 30-minute session or something, if they didn't even have that much, or they, you know, didn't even make that much in savings every month. Like, I don't even know people's like financial situation. It's just kind of more of an awareness, like a mindful thing. Because I know it is, I mean, don't sell yourself short and like give away your work for free, but for sure, make sure it's accessible. Mm-hmm. Because I think in that way you have a wider range of people who are coming to you for services, whether it's photography or, you know, labor work or whatever. So I'm just kind of grateful to get to know these people and take photos of them. And these are photos they're going to have for the rest of their life. And I don't think charging them an arm and a leg for them is something that I'm comfortable doing. So I do always price like on the lower side, pretty much just enough to, you know, make it by or have a little extra in savings and to eat. So just because people have done the same for me, and giving back is really important.
So do you think that you've maybe actually built some connections and relationships with these people that you decide not to charge, that is actually more valuable than maybe the monetary gain that you would have if you had charged them?
I think so. Because I think when people you know, go to people like photographers or videographers, people who are there for a moment. They have a job. Say I go to a wedding and they're like, we need you from this time to this time. Take photos of these things. Make sure to capture these moments. You want to make sure the people you're taking photos of, especially the people you're doing the work for, have an understanding of your personality, because I think that also goes hand in hand with making those connections. So like if you know how to joke with the people you're, you know, taking photos of, then you're going to get that genuine smile that you want. And as a result, you're going to have those, like the ideal kind of photos, like just the genuine, authentic, like organic, just, I don't want to say like vibe, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. So how do you find these photography gigs while you're on the road?
A lot of it is actually through Instagram, which is actually really ironic, because I never thought my Instagram was going to be anything that it is now, or that anybody would contact me, you know, through any of my social media really to want to work with me. I work with a lot of different photographers. I love learning from people. I think that's another thing that is really important to be open to, is learning from other people and, you know, teaching them as well. But,
so do you, on your Instagram, do you have like in your bio that you do shoots, or do you advertise on your pictures, or do people just actually reach out to you because of the quality or what they see on your Instagram?
I think it might be a little bit of both. I feel like my Instagram doesn't have a theme, which I'm, I don't really know how to like get a theme, because my Instagram page is more or less sharing my life, and I don't feel like my life has a theme because it's so sporadic and like all over the place all the time. In my bio, I do have just a little section where it says, you know, DM or email for business, collab, or even just to say hi. Like, I love meeting new people. I never really, like, I always try to respond to people when I can.
So what kind of tips would you give to somebody that wants to, that is choosing to become a wanting to travel, wanting to make some money, and they are a photographer, maybe starting out or something? What kind of tips would you give them to get started on that journey?
I think the biggest thing for me is you have to be open. I've definitely slept in places that I never thought I was going to sleep in. I've met people that I never thought I was going to meet. And, so I guess it kind of begins with being open to experience new things that you didn't think you were going to experience. Like, be prepared for the things you didn't think you were going to be prepared for. Like, I had no idea I was going to go to Florida, and then I went and I was there for a month, and then I just like flew back, and now I'm in Oregon. So, go ahead.
Oh, what sparked that trip to Florida? How did that come about?
So I've had all kinds of jobs, and my most recent job was a caregiver, and I got out of that field just because the hours were more like inconsistent, and just for like other reasons. But then I was kind of like, okay, let's work on more photography stuff, because that's where I have way more passion. That's where I'm meeting all these amazing people. That's where I'm like happiest. And for me, it's like really rarely about the money. It's more about like the happiness factor. So from there, I was kind of just like just hanging out at home, going to shoots. I was always in Seattle. I was always in Bellingham, which is where I'm originally from, or Canada. So from there, I just kind of was like, let's do something different. And then it was actually a filming member who contacted me and was like, would you want to be a third, or would you want to be a second driver to move, you know, one of my other family members from the Seattle area to Florida? And I was like, absolutely. He's like, you don't have to really pay anything. You can just be a second driver, you know, help out where you can, just move the stuff, and then, you know, staying for it as long as you want. I was like, okay, this sounds like a dream come true, because I've always wanted to go cross country. I've like gone to Florida before, but never, I haven't driven to Florida before.
Right.
So that was really exciting. So I just jumped on the opportunity, which was like pretty much unexpected. He called me like 2 weeks before and he's like, I'm flying in this day. Are you in? And I was like, absolutely. So from there, we spent 5 days driving. And that was, the rest is history, I guess.
That's a really interesting story, because I've heard of people kind of working on maybe boats or on a sailboat or something and getting free travel to another area. But I've actually heard that, because you're kind of almost doing work for travel in a way, like you're helping them mm-hmm. move, but you're getting a trip across the country. So that's kind of a unique way to get to be able to travel for nothing.
Yeah, I feel like that's how a lot of my like travel goes, is people like, can you come to this area and shoot with me? Or even if we like don't shoot or anything like that, we usually, it's typically centered around something that we create, whether it's art or, you know, photography, videography, mm-hmm. Just different things, like working on different sustainability projects, things like that. Conversions. Cool. So I do get to travel quite a bit to do things I love, and it's like never really been about money, because I just love opportunity and I love trying anything new.
For sure. Yeah. I think you've got a good situation there. So you've been, now you said you were living in your car. Are you still living in your car now?
No, I'm actually crashing on someone's couch. Okay. And it's, well, I guess it's kind of like half-half, because I'm like living in a car part-time when I work in Washington. And then when I'm in Oregon, I like have a couch to crash on. So it just kind of depends on, like, I always have a packed bag. I call it like my adventure bag. It has my hammock straps, mm-hmm. Like 2 out of 5 of my cameras, you know, my polar sleeping bag, and an extra change of clothes and some like bathroom stuff that I always have with me, like always in my car. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of there when I need it. But I'd say it's pretty half and half right now.
So have you ever used like couch surfing or some sort of resource like that before?
No, I actually didn't even hear about that until the beginning of the year. And I was like, so stoked. I was like, beyond, like, you have no idea. I was like, oh my gosh, I can actually just crash with people.
Yeah.
Like, no way. I don't have to like fight to find like a place to crash, like a couch. That's insane. I was like, no way. And then I like got really into that. I haven't used it yet, but I'm kind of just like always browsing just to see where I could go and like what the possibilities are.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it though.
It's a cool resource, because I'm from Victoria. I live in Victoria right now, and I went across the Georgia Strait to Vancouver, and mm-hmm. I don't really know anybody that lives in Vancouver. So I found someone on couch surfing, and it turned out to be just amazing. Like this guy, he has people stay with him every single day of the week. He's always got couch surfers there. Because mm-hmm. he loves like talking to new people and hearing their travel stories and all that.
Yeah.
And he made everybody dinner and breakfast, and like it was just such a good way to be able to travel and meet new people and really cut down on expenses. So I think it's a sweet resource for people that want to be able to travel on a budget.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. It's I actually stay with my friend Elliot when I go to Canada. Mm-hmm. And we drive like all over the place. The border people are just kind of like, oh, you here again? I was like, yep, I'm here again. I've gone all over to like Granville Island. I think I went to Vancouver Island, Vancouver, Port Moody. Some of the places I don't know the names of, but I've definitely been. I absolutely love it. I love it.
That's cool. So you have lived in your car a little bit, depending on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really big in the van life scene. So I understand kind of how people are converting vans, living in that, And but I haven't actually done a video or collaborated with anybody that's made a living situation out of their car. Is there anything unique that you've done to your car that you've made it more, have more ability to be able to be lived in or anything like that?
So my biggest thing was, so for parking, I don't really park in public places. Especially if it's an area I don't know. I typically don't try to go a certain way if I don't have, you know, somebody's residential neighborhood I can park in, or like a driveway or something, just because my biggest thing is like safety. Like I like to live on the edge, but not if somebody's going to break it and try to like steal something of mine. Yeah. Just because it basically comes down to protecting my camera gear, and my laptop. <It's>, ask anybody, I'll be like, no, I'm bringing this bag with me. I don't care where we're going. It's mine. It's going.
Yeah.
The rest of it, I feel like my car just looks like a normal car. I'm really minimalistic, like extremely minimalistic. So I pretty much only have the absolute basic that I need. If I need food, I'll go to the grocery store and I'll get food as I need it. I don't like to keep too much in my car unless it's like packaged, which is kind of hard because right now I'm going plastic free. So a lot of the stuff I'm buying is like fresh. So a cooler, like a little cooler, like a little lunchbox thing definitely helps. And then meal prepping at people's houses. That's a huge thing. So I pretty much live off rice and veggies. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I pretty much never get tired of it. And it doesn't really go bad if I leave in my car for a couple hours.
Right.
Which is super nice. And I feel like I'll typically put things in the freezer like a couple hours before I go, just so it stays, like the coldness stays longer when it comes to food.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, I guess, basic things like making sure you have, you know, like, some kind of like personal alarm. You have emergency contacts in case your phone dies. You have like a little survival thing with like toilet paper, matchstick, sanitizer.
Yeah.
Like a flashlight, just kind of like basic things. And then I always have jumper cables. I have like a AAA car.
Oh yeah.
Like kit. Just, I'm so paranoid about getting stuck on the side of the road. which has happened before. So it just kind of, I mean, everything fits in my trunk. So anything that I would have, you know, in the back seat or the front one driving, I could easily just put in the trunk and nobody would know that I live in my car.
Right.
I don't know how it is. Like I watch somebody, I think it's like Holly and Huckleberry, and she has her car like totally decked out to like live out of. My car is not like that. Like you would not know anybody like lived in my car. I feel like it kind of makes my car like a target. They're like, oh my gosh, she has like bags in the back. I pretty much keep my car as, you know, clean as possible, just everything in the trunk all the time, no matter where I'm at. So not any special modifications, but just like little things like a survival kit, emergency stuff, and the absolute necessities.
Interesting. Okay. And I think that you mentioned that you're interested or you're going to be buying a van soon. What sparked that idea?
Okay. So I actually used to have a 35-foot school bus. It was a 1977 International Bluebird. I sold it. Actually, somebody else sold it for me while I was in Florida. So I didn't convert it. It was pretty much parked. Me and my friend were going to like do the whole school bus thing. And then like he fell through. And so he's like, you can just keep the bus. Just keep the bus, do whatever you want. And so I was like, okay, cool. And then I was like, you know, working, it was winter. I couldn't like go out to the bus all the time.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'll sell it because the van was what I originally wanted.
Right.
Like hands down, since I started hopping around from house to house, I knew I was like, I'm never going to be happy if I live in a house ever. I was like, that's just not for me. So, I've been planning a conversion for about 4 years and I'm waiting on the guy to respond. I really hope he does because I want to get the van today. But it basically centers around me you know, being a kid in the system, being homeless for several years, and like just wanting a place that's stable, like not having to move around, like having all my belongings at everybody's house, and having to buy multiple of things. Like I realized I was buying like three times as much toothpaste so I could keep it at these people's houses in case I go there, in case I forgot like my bag, and just kind of like all these other roadblocks that kind of led me to be like, oh my gosh. And I had no idea van life was a thing. I was like, all I know is that I need to live small and I need to be affordable and I need to love the life, because my ultimate goal is living a life I don't need vacation from.
Right.
So, and that's sustainable. Because I've rented before, you know, whether it's like a room or an apartment or, you know, been in somebody's house. It's just, there's always something that happens with like landlords and like management. And it's not that I hate authority. I just don't understand why some people are really restrictive.
Right.
And I'm really, really independent. So it's really hard for me to be under, like live in a house, pay for something, but have to go under somebody else's rules. Especially if like they don't live there or something like that. Not that it's like a disrespect thing, but kind of know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
So it sounds like van life is going to provide you with the freedom that you need, and then consolidating all your stuff and kind of give you that security of like a home base in a way.
Absolutely. So I have kind of like not this idealistic, you know, utopia mindset of, oh my gosh, van life, I'm never gonna break down, I'm gonna be able to travel. Like I understand, like I have gone through some stuff when it comes to, you know, living small, traveling a lot. Like I have, you know, a lot has happened. But I'm definitely like so realistic when it comes to, you know, making sure I have a budget, making sure I'm able to pay for things, setting aside money for maintenance, and you know, if it needs to get towed, what am I gonna do? Type thing. So like always preparing for the worst, but not expecting the worst.
Sure.
Again, preparing for things that you don't think are gonna happen. It definitely gives me that sustainability that I want, having solar, having my own, you know, being able to control where my water comes from, where my water's going. Minimizing waste, just kind of leaving a smaller footprint.
That's awesome.
Is a huge thing for me. And I know some people are like, you shouldn't buy like an older vehicle, but I mean, it pretty much kills the planet just as much, you know, buying a brand new car, which I've done and I've sold. So
yeah. Well, it's interesting because yeah, people say like, oh, you'll be driving around all the time, but You probably won't be driving around as much. And living in a house, I think, is probably one of the most destructive things, just in waste management and and energy use and everything. It's just completely inefficient. I'm not saying a van is perfect, but I think your footprint is much smaller living in a van than in a traditional house, for sure.
You cut out for a sec.
Yeah, I just think that living in a van is definitely a lot more efficient than living in a house in a lot of ways.
I totally agree.
Oh yeah. Maybe just to finish off the podcast, do you have any additional tips for traveling, for making money while on the road, for sustaining the travel lifestyle? And I would love to also know your Instagram tag so that people can find you and look up your photography if they're interested.
Yeah, I think there's so many. I'm actually opening a YouTube channel and finishing up my website right now, which you'll be able to find everything eventually, like all the links and all that from my Instagram, which is just Runaway Tae, T-A-E.
Okay.
But for tips, there's so many like things in my mind. Safety first. Always make sure you have your own back. Not that other people won't have your back, but always make sure you can, you know, be resourceful and get yourself out of situations if you need to. You know, don't risk anything too crazy, but I mean, still have fun with it. And
that was one thing I was going to actually talk to you about is a lot of people maybe listening to this that have never traveled at all before, and maybe they're women, you know, so it's, it's one thing being a man and traveling. I think it's from my own perspective, I think like I've hitchhiked across Canada and back, and I probably wouldn't do that if I was a woman because of the stories I've heard and that kind of stuff. So maybe you can lend in your perspective as a woman who's traveled a bit and had these kind of life experiences. What would you suggest to other women that are wanting to do this, but maybe scared to do so?
I actually ask myself this question a lot. Like, what would I do differently if I was a male? I'm a woman of color. And for me, I've definitely experienced racism at some places. Like when I was like filling up gas, I walked in the gas station, you know, paying with cash. Also, paying with cash is always cheaper than paying with your card. Check Costco. Also, it's always cheaper. It's like, I think 10 cents cheaper. Then I was like walking in, he's like, we don't like your kind here. This time we'd better if you leave. And I just, you know, ignored it because I'm so used to that, which is like kind of sad to say. But I'm pretty much not like immune, but it's just kind of like neutralized me. And I feel like it's hard to find other people of color, not just women of color, just other people of color who are also traveling on the road. Whether it's solo or, you know, they have somebody or, you know, whatever.
Do you think that's because of racism or why do you think that is? If you had to speculate.
I'm not sure. Honestly don't. I feel like it's just kind of like a mindset thing. Like, I don't think it really has anything to do with like your skin color. I think it's more of, is this lifestyle something I want? Because I think, I mean, you don't just move into a van to save money. Like, you don't just move into a van because you think it's going to be, you know, all fun and games. Like, there's a certain mindset I feel like that people from the van life community have, which is a very strong sense of community, understanding, and like the willingness to help and accepting help from others. And I don't really think those are, you know, traits based on skin color or anything like that, but I don't know. I've just kind of like noticed that there's not a whole lot of people of color doing this. So I think my advice for being, you know, a woman on the road, or even, you know, a woman of color on the road is safety. It's always safety. Mine is like, always make sure you have stuff. Just whether it's like pepper spray, taser. If you are into guns, carry a gun. But, you know, just make sure that you're doing what you can to protect yourself. I always send my location to my friends. Indefinite location from iPhone. I don't know how it works on like Android or anything else, but also Snap Maps. If, you know, open that every couple miles or, you know, whenever you're in a location, before your service cuts out, that was somebody has seen the last place you were. And just making sure that even if they're not near you, people know where you are. Those kinds of things. Just for me, I started when I was, pretty young, like around 16, 17. so I think it's, you know, don't be afraid when people look at you a certain way or belittle you. Like, I know how to change a tire. I know how to change my oil. I know, you know, basic maintenance for cars and stuff. And I think when people see, they may see like a solo female traveler or, you know, maybe even if it's just like a woman on the side of the road, her tire flew off, she's changing her tire. I feel like people automatically go to that mindset of, does she know what she's doing? Does she need help? I feel like if it was a man, people would be like, oh, he's got it. He knows how to change a tire. But don't get discouraged. Like, I get heated about certain things sometimes. Don't let that, you know, take over what you know you want to do, what you know you're capable of doing. Because for me, that was like maybe the hardest thing, because I'm really fierce when it comes to defending rights of other people. I just don't really have a tolerance for that. So I definitely have to have patience. And always put myself first. But I think the fear goes away after a little while. Like the bulk of the fear, you know, the first time you, you know, sleep somewhere on your own, it might get scary. Like I remember there's been a couple nights where I just like stayed up, you know, freaking myself out for no reason at all. You know, wondering like if someone's gonna break into my car, if someone's gonna, you know, try to like assault me or just for whatever reason. And I think once you kind of like get the hang of it, and you will, like you will get the hang of it, you kind of realize that not everybody is, you know, out to get you. And it's okay to relax. It's okay to enjoy yourself. Right. Just always keep, you know, your safety in the back of your mind, which is like probably the biggest thing.
Right. Very interesting. So your plans are to get a van eventually. Do you have any plans to travel overseas as well or anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I actually made a friend and she lives in Spain. She's like, oh my gosh, I want you to come to Spain. I also have friends from high school, actually. They were foreign exchange students. One's from Sweden and the other one's from Germany. And they're like, we would love for you to come visit us. And cool. We could just like all, I mean, because they know about laws more than I do. I also reach out to people on Instagram. There's like an Australian couple that I follow and they're like traveling. They travel around Canada. And I think they're in California right now. And just reaching out to them and like, hey, how were you able to come here, buy a car, you know, get like some sort of like visa type situation and travel? Because that was my biggest thing is like, how do I do it legally?
Right.
You know, without breaking, because I don't know how to drive in Europe. Like, I don't know how to drive in other countries.
The logistics of it, for sure.
Yeah. So, but once I figured that out, I'm absolutely like 150,000%. Like, I know I'm going to travel to other countries via van life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. That's one thing I always remind myself when I'm in another country and kind of like maybe lost or not understanding like what I'm supposed to do. I always remind myself that there's tons of other people that live here and they're able to do it fine. And there's tons of people that travel through here and they're able to do everything they want to do. So it's possible for me to do that as well. So that's one thing I always keep in mind is that anything is like, you can go anywhere. You can live anywhere. You can get a car, you can drive anywhere, really. It's super free world out there.
Yeah. I definitely keep that in mind, especially when I am able to drive up to Canada. I'm from Bellingham. It's 30 minutes away. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, driving in Canada. At first I was like, oh my gosh, what are kilometers? What is this? And then I was like, oh right, they don't go by miles. And also like the currency exchange is kind of like a whole new set of rules. Just like a whole new just like environment. I mean, like Canadians speak English, so I wasn't like too worried about the language barrier, but I was a little nervous about driving and like police, like are they gonna pull me over because I'm like totally going the wrong speed. But just different things like that, pretty much the logistics, like you said.
Yeah, there's always a bit of a learning curve when you enter a new country too. And And when I most recently, when I went to the States, I converted a van and drove it down to California. And it's funny because it's like literally I can see the United States from where I live in Canada.
Yeah.
And yet it's an entirely different place in a lot of ways. And the people are very different than in the US than Canada. But equally as friendly or just as friendly, and you're able to just kind of, there's a little bit of a learning curve of how to deal with the new country, and then you're just good to go.
For sure.
Yeah. So thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah.
That was really great. And I'll link everything in the description and in the show notes for anybody listening that is interested in checking out your photos and your Instagram.
Perfect. Well, thank you. This was my first podcast for minimalistic, you know, nomad stuff. So I was like really excited.
Yeah.
I really love being here.
Yeah, it sounds like you're well on your way and doing some really cool stuff in the world of sustainability as well, which is super interesting to me. Not really what this podcast is about, but I think that's going to be a general thing that a lot of the digital nomads or travelers are always interested mm-hmm. in.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.